Amen. 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 Please, I ask you just to, if you would, after the message, if you would just give us a few moments. We're gonna ordain a minister, an elder. We're gonna ordain an elder today. Amen. And I thank God for my. You'll hear more about it. He is not directly from this house, but we consider him. We consider him a son of this house. Because he's been so faithful. We thank God for the connection. Elder Roland first initiated the connection, and we thank God for all that God is doing in Elder Patrick Royster's life. We thank God for him and for his family that have come. Let's celebrate them. Amen. 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 Let's do a Bible affirmation found on our inserts. And then the 24 minutes that I got left, we're going to do what we got to do and move on in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's do a Bible affirmation found on the inserts and maybe on the screen. We believe the Word of God to be more than just a bunch of stories, more than a history collection. We believe it to be the Word of God. Let's do our Bible affirmation. Ready? Read. This is my Bible. It is the infallible, incorruptible, unstoppable, immutable Word of God. It holds my peace, my victory, my breakthrough. This is my spiritual roadmap. This is my Bible. You believe that? Give God a shout. Amen. Amen. We're coming from Luke chapter 19. We're going to read two verses from that particular chapter, and then we're going to move to Matthew 27. It should be on the screen. Is it on the screen? All right. All right. We're going to consider for a thought this morning. Committed faith or crowd frenzy. Committed faith or crowd frenzy. Luke chapter 19, verse 36 through 38. Follow with me as I read. And as he went, speaking of Jesus, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Matthew chapter 27, verse 15 through 17, and then we're going to verse 20 and 21. Matthew 27, 15. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? Verse 20. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Verse 21. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. The word of the Lord is already blessed. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. May be seated in the presence of the Lord. Committed faith or crowd frenzy? I want to start with a story this morning. Get my Joel Osteen on. A little boy was sick on Palm Sunday and stayed home with his mom while his dad went to church. When his father returned, he came back holding palm leaves. The little boy was curious and he asked, Dad, why do you have these palm leaves? Where'd you get this palm leaf from? His dad said, You see, son, when Jesus came into town, everyone waved palm branches to honor him. So we got palm branches today. The little boy replied with great disappointment, Dang, the one Sunday I miss is the Sunday that Jesus decides to show up. Amen. Today is Palm Sunday. The day recorded in the Word of God where an entire city threw a parade for Jesus. As he rode into the city on a young donkey, the people threw palm branches on the ground in anticipation of his coming. Thus we get the phrase Palm Sunday. It was a gesture that was reserved primarily for royalty and conquering war heroes. Those who were designated and were recognized as royalty, they laid palms and took their coats off and laid them down as a sign of honor for those royalty and war heroes. So they did the same for Jesus on this day. Palm Sunday marks a time of celebration where Jesus was worshiped and praised by believers and non-believers. But while we rejoice over the celebration of this day, we know that Friday is coming. We know that the cross is coming. And many in this same crowd will, in only a few days, trade the words of praise and devotion for words of punishment and death. Many in this same crowd will go from shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna," to later shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." Isn't it funny how folk change? Billy Graham said it like this. He said, "The greatest mission field in our country today is in our local churches." This may not be true for all churches, but it is true for most churches. Many believers know what to say, how to say it, and how to act like it. But if there is no personal relationship with Jesus Christ, what we profess is pointless, powerless, and pitiful at best. A lot of people sitting in pews, looking like they're Christian, acting like they're Christian, talking like they're Christian, but without a personal relationship, what you do, what we go through, the steps and the formality, it is pointless, powerless, and pitiful. This Friday, that Sunday, Jesus rode into the city with the people shouting praises and praising God for the ministry they had seen or had heard about. That Friday, they were shouting, "Give us Barabbas and crucify the man Jesus." Here's the question. Why the change? Why the change? Why? Honestly, it was less of a change and more of a coming out. Teach on, Pastor Radford. It was less of a change, but more of a coming out. Maya Angelou said it like this. She says, "When people tell you who they are, believe them the first time." Why the change? It wasn't a change. Their words didn't match their heart. And they possessed a casual faith, not a committed faith. Look at your neighbor and say, is your faith casual or is it committed? Amen. You might want to wait for an answer because that might determine how long you stay where you sit. Is it a casual faith or is it a committed faith? They had religious awareness of Jesus, but not a relational acquaintance with him. They had heard of Jesus and had heard of his miracles and had heard of all the things he had done, but they weren't relationally acquainted with him. This crowd was bigger than the normal crowds that sat at his feet when he taught. This crowd was noticeably larger than the crowds who were sitting there to receive the instruction that they would need to grow themselves as his disciples. Hallelujah. So today we ask the question, how can we develop a committed faith? Got three things I want to leave you. I'm going to load up my little red wagon and get out of your way. Three things. Number one, a committed faith is not self-centered, but it's Christ-centered. Real simple. A committed faith is not self-centered, it is Christ-centered. Sounds obvious, but we often miss it. Many times we say to God, hey, God, here's my schedule. Here's my agenda. Get in where you fit in. I don't say that. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yeah, you do. When Bible studies on Wednesday night and Empire's on too. To our guests, I just hit somebody with a bag of nickels. Man, I hit you with truth that you can't dodge. Yeah, you say it. I don't say it. Yeah, you do. Yeah. No, I don't know. Football season. You're timing the preacher. You're timing the pastor. Because kickoff is in 30 minutes. And you got to wrap it up, preacher. A committed faith is not self-centered, but it's Christ-centered. We say, here's my schedule. Here's my agenda. Get in where you fit in. In the text, the multitude praised Jesus as he passed by. This is good, Chris. They praised Jesus and worshiped Jesus as he passed by. Because the casual Christian, a passing Jesus, is better than putting up with a permanent Jesus. Got to be more careful. For the casual believer, the casual worshiper, a passing Jesus is better to put up with than a permanent Jesus. What are you talking about? What are you talking about, Pastor? See, I can put up with him as long as I know he won't always be around that long. Like on Sunday mornings. I can deal with it for 60 minutes as long as I know that as soon as it's over, I can go back to do what I want to do. To the casual Christian, give me a passing Jesus, and I'll pass on a permanent Jesus. But when he's permanent, putting up with him won't do. When he's permanent, putting up with him won't cut it. When Jesus is permanent in your life, you have to put him up. See, the casual Christian puts up with him. This hurt, but it's going to be over with in a minute. Like a whooping. It's going to hurt, but it'll be over with in a minute. The casual Christian will put up with Christ. But the committed believer, they will put Christ up. If I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. You got to look at your neighbor and say, are you putting up with him or putting him up? Are you putting up with him? Or are you putting him up? Got to lift him up. What am I putting him up? I'm putting him up above every excuse. Above every setback, above every disappointment, above every heartbreak, above every failure. I'm putting him above every breakdown and every breakup and I'm putting him up against every no and every not yet. Look at somebody and say, put him up. You gotta put him up, you gotta lift him higher. That's what he said. He is exalted. The king is exalted. I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm yelling. I'm just excited. I'm excited to know that when I put him up, people see him before they see me, including my enemies, including my haters, including them that are trying to mess with me. When I put him up, they can't help but see him before they see me. Number two, a committed faith is relationship driven. Committed faith is relationship driven. It's relationship driven. Many who gathered to shout praises and throw palm leaves and their coats on the street did so because it was trendy. You know, some folks get in the mix. You know what? You ever been in a place where one person run and then everybody run? Especially in our culture, and I'm sorry, now in our culture, all I need to see is one. If I see one of y'all running, I'm running too. I'll ask you what you were running from later,
But if I see more than one, if I see somebody running, I'm running too. I'm not, hey, what's going on? What's going on? No, that's not me. It's not me. I'm running too. So when they saw, when the Bible says, I think it's in Matthew, that the disciples were the first ones that started cheering and praising. The disciples were the first ones. And because there was a considerable number, the non-believers said, well, if they praise it, I'm going to praise too. You sit beside people who shout and worship as loud, if not louder than you, but they're not following Christ. They just fell in with you. And it's good that we understand that, because it's good that we understand that, because if whenever I'm in a fight, I need somebody who's committed and not somebody who's casual. I need somebody fully enlisted. I don't need no weekend warrior. I need somebody who got some battle tactics, who know what to do in a foxhole, who know how to get a prayer through. I don't need nobody who got to refer back to the manual when the bullets start flying, but I need somebody who can take aim and help me take out the enemy that's trying to take me out. Look at your neighbor and say, can I depend on you? Can I depend on you? Committed faith. A committed faith comes only through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't be committed if you're not relational. You can't be committed if you're not relational. It's through Jesus Christ that we learn how to stand. It's through that relationship with Christ that I learn how to, having done all, to stand. How do I learn to do that? By being in relation with Him. And my relationship with Him will teach me how to stand when everything around me and in me is screaming, lay it down, let it go, give it up. But because I've got relationship with God, I know that He is my rock. And if the storm blows, He's not going to blow me away. Because when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher, higher than me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Developing and maintaining a personal relationship with Jesus is the difference between faith that stands and faith that stumbles. Your development and maintenance of your relationship with God, which means you can't just get saved and be done. Which means you can't just say, God, I invite you into my heart and be done. No, you have to keep growing. You have to keep searching for Him. The same way you got to take certain continuing education classes to keep your job. You got to go get recertified and get retested every so often so that they can know that you're still proficient. The same way you can do that on your job, you got to be able to keep going and growing in God. And to the degree you do that will determine whether your faith will stand or whether it will stumble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So number two, a committed faith is relationship driven. Number three, committed faith is not moved by our personal trials and crises. A committed faith is not moved by our personal trials and crises. At the parade, Jesus' praise was popular. Everybody was, go Jesus, go Jesus, go Jesus, go Jesus. It's your birthday. Go Jesus. Go Jesus. Go Jesus. They were crunk praising Jesus at the parade. But at the trial, to speak out against Jesus was risky. You might not get out of there intact, because they were out for blood. Many of us come to Jesus expecting everything to fall into place. But when adversity strikes and the bottom falls out, the first thing usually to go is our confidence and our trust in God. Call those fair-weather Christians. Well, you're good with God while things are going right. But as soon as a little trouble comes, you start abandoning ship and start throwing things overboard. And the first thing you throw overboard is your confidence and your trust in God. That's the loudest, biggest sign that you're not committed. Your faith isn't committed, but it is crowd frenzied. If our faith is based on our situations or circumstances, life would be one big chaotic carnival ride. If my faith is based on whether things are good or bad, I'm on a roller coaster ride. I got ups and I got downs. Keep looking straight ahead because you got somebody on a roller coaster ride. They got ups and they downs. One Sunday, how you doing? Blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, how you doing? They so spiritual, they can't even talk English right. They so high. They look in the sky, and they see three clouds, and they see Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They so spiritual. When they eat the alphabet soup, they start seeing revelation. But then you got the low point where they don't even want to get out of bed. They don't even want to pray. They didn't want to pray, when, especially when they're going through a hard time. They want to abandon everything about God. And when you try to talk to them about God, I don't want to hear nothing about God. It's a roller coaster. Roller coasters are good to ride for a moment, but I don't want to live on one. I don't want to live on a roller coaster. When my faith is connected or dictated by how things are occurring in my life, that's not a good place. A committed faith takes the good with the bad. I thought about the facts of life. You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have facts of life. The facts of life. That's maybe some, again, maybe you ahead of some of y'all. Amen. Before y'all time. But a committed faith takes the good and the bad, knowing that God is right there with us every step of the way. That's what a committed faith does. I take the good, I take the bad, knowing that God is with me. And I hear that hurting heart saying, well, Pastor, if he's right there, why won't he step in and save me from this hurt and save me from this pain? I hear you. I used to ask the same question till he gave me revelation. Think about this. The same way parents let beginning walkers stumble and fall. Come on, little booty, booty, cootie. Come on, come on. Where their head is bigger than their body. Same way that mom and daddy step back and let them walk and stumble and fall is the same way that God will step back and let you walk and let you stumble and let you fall. Because here's a revelation I learned in the falling. I learned to develop muscles. Hey, in the falling, I learned to develop muscles that I didn't know that I had. I've come to tell some of you, the reason why God didn't snatch you up and you salty with him now is because he was trying to get you to understand. You got muscles. You got power you don't even know you got yet. And you couldn't discover it if he scooped you up every time. Sometimes he had to let you fall. And in the falling, I understand how to work what I didn't know I had. And I learned how to get up when I fall. if he snatched you up every time you were about to fall, you would miss a lesson in getting up. Oh, God. My grandmother and Miss Betty said it too. She said, "Don't." I was a young parent, and I wanted to do everything. My grandmother said, "Don't run after that baby. Let him get up." And I don't know what got in me to make me think I knew more than she did. But you know, sometimes crazy thoughts get in your head, and I said to myself, "The devil is a liar. I'm going to grab my son so he don't scuff his knees." And it's like my grandmother read my mind. She said, if you keep going after him, picking him up, he's going to develop an unhealthy dependence on you. And he's not going to know how to deal with hard times. Those are her words. He's not going to know how to deal with hard times. And we developed a society today where everybody's a winner. So that when you hit hard times, you crack up and want to take everybody out with you. But sometimes God will let you fall to the ground so you can understand what it's like to get up. So you can strengthen the muscles you never knew you had. God doesn't just want us to be safe and sound. He also wants us to be strong, resilient, and courageous. I started with a story, and I want to end with a story. A little girl, while walking through a garden, saw the most beautiful plant she'd ever seen in her life, planted in a particular place in the garden. She said, "Oh, I've never seen this plant as beautiful as this." She ran down and she smelled it. She said, "Oh, it smelled so exquisite." But as she continued to admire the plant, She noticed, she looked down the stem and saw that it was in the dirt. She said, "This plant is too beautiful and smells too wonderful to be in this dirt." And so she picked it up by the root, took it in and washed it off in the faucet. Well, you know what happened. After a while, the plant wilted and it died. And the gardener who planted the plant came back and said, "Little girl, what have you done?" She said, "The plant was so beautiful. And it smells so wonderful. I just couldn't bear to see it in the dirt that it was in. So I had to pick it up." He said, "Girl, don't you know? Because I knew the seed and what it needed, I put it in specially mixed soil. And I picked out that place especially for that flower." I want to tell you, God has placed us exactly where we are. He's placed you exactly where you are. We must trust that while in that place, he's using every pressure, every trial, every difficulty, every heartache, every heartbreak. He's using it all to bring us to a new degree of spiritual beauty. Help me out, Paul, for we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. If you recognize that text, it didn't say all things were good. You're going to go through some hard stuff. You're going to get your mouthpiece knocked out. You're going to be, if you deal with man, you're going to be disappointed every time. But you got to trust that the place that you're in, God has planted me. If you listen to the voice of God and allowed him to order your steps, that place you're at is ordained of God. So this morning, as we stand, this morning, I want to ask you a question. Is your faith casual or is it committed? Is it casual? Or is it committed? Do you have the kind of faith that can take a licking but keep on ticking? Or is your faith easily shaken by trouble? as we enter the week where Christ Jesus suffered his greatest agony, his greatest pain. This is the week where he goes into that garden and he prays, and the pressure is so intense, the Bible says he sweated great drops of blood. Capillaries burst underneath his skin because of the pressure of his assignment, and he began to sweat blood. As we enter into this week, where it becomes evident that it was not the nails that put him on the cross, but it was our sin, past, present, and future. If we come into the understanding that this week is where everything that Christ lived for is about to come to a head. I want to ask you, doesn't Jesus deserve a second look? Maybe you're saved. You say, I've been saved my whole life. Been saved for a long time. And you think you got this thing down. You think you got this thing to a science. You give him a little bit of your time. You give him a tip instead of a tithe. You give him scraps and leftovers. Doesn't Jesus deserve a second look? You only think about him when you get in trouble. You only talk about him when you get around other church people. Prayer is only reserved for emergencies. Doesn't Jesus deserve a second look? Doesn't he deserve more of a say in your life since he gave his life for you? Doesn't he deserve a personal relationship with you? This week, consider all of that. I want to suggest that you make a choice to give God more of you. More of you. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? I come to church every Sunday. You see me every Sunday. I come every Sunday. I come most Wednesdays. I come. No, I'm not talking about your appearance here. I'm talking about your time when nobody else is looking. Because you can fool us for an hour and a half. You can fool us for 90 minutes. But doesn't God deserve the part of you that nobody else sees? I think he does. Doesn't he deserve to have you run those thoughts that you would never admit you're thinking to anybody else? Doesn't he deserve to have a crack at them? When you get to the place where you're able and you're willing to give him the private parts of you, you're moving and you're graduating from a crowd-frenzied faith. You're moving and graduating from a faith that only comes out when other people are faithful. You're moving to a committed faith that says, whether you go with me or not, I'm going to choose Jesus every time. Whether it's popular or not, whether it's trending or not, I'm going to choose Jesus every time. Right where you stand, right where you are. I want you to do a self-examination. I want you to do a self-check of where you are right now. Nobody's looking at your life. You're looking at your own life. Look at your life. Can you say, I'm a committed follower of Christ Jesus? I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about a disciple, a disciplined learner. Can you say that? If you can, thank God. But don't stop. Because the Bible says we go from faith to faith, glory to glory. As much as you know, you still don't know it all. As much as you've grown, you still got growing to do. keep pressing. For those who have not, for those who can't say that right now, I want to let you know right now that there's nothing that you've done that will keep you away from God except your decision. There's nothing that you've done that will keep you away from God other than your choice to stay where you are. You can in this moment, say, God, I want more. I want more of your presence in my life. I want more of your power in my life. I want more of your spirit leading me, guiding me. I'm tired of being led by my emotions. I'm an emotional wreck. I'm on a roller coaster. I don't even like myself sometimes, God. Balance me. Put me on steady ground. Put me on solid ground. If that's you, this is your day. This is your opportunity. If that's you, the King of Glory is coming in. Palm Sunday, we're laying down the leaves. We're taking off our coats and laying it before him. We're taking off the things that have covered us. And we're laying them before his feet. Let him come to you right now. Let him come to you right now. Let him come to you right now. For some of you, it means breaking out of religion. It means stepping out of religion and embracing relationship. For some of you, it means coming out of the old ways, relinquishing the hurt, giving it to him, and letting him heal you. I'm here to tell you, God can reach what no other hand can touch. He can speak what no other voice can be heard. But it begins with your choice. It begins with your decision. It begins with your decision. Does anybody in this room, you want to make a decision right now? I want to give my life to God. I want to give my life to God. I'm not saved, but I want to be saved. I want to invite Christ into my life. It doesn't mean you're joining this church, but it means you want to be a part of the family of God. If that's you, no major hoops to jump through. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's you. You're in this room right now on this Palm Sunday. On this day where we celebrate the entry of Christ Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. Why don't you invite him into the city of your heart right now? He's willing to come in. That's you. You recognize I am not saved. I'm not giving my heart to God. Here's the rough and dirty version. If you died tonight, could you say that heaven would be your home? Honestly. When you understand that you don't enter into heaven because you are a good person. Whole lot of good people gonna bust hell wide open. The entry into the kingdom of God, the entry into heaven is through Jesus Christ. He's the key. If you're not giving your life to God, saints, I need you praying right now. Saints, I need you praying. If you're not invited Christ in your heart, if you're not saying, God, I want to love you. I want to love you. I want to love you. He can love you better than any father can. He's the ultimate father. He's Abba Father. He can love you. I know your mother loves you, but she can't love you more than God loves you. You're saying, I want that love. I want that love. I want to know that love. Unconditional love. Unconditional love. Love that looks past your faults and sees exactly what you need. That love is only found in God. Through his son, Jesus. If you want to be saved, you want that love, pray that prayer with me. You got believers who are going to pray with you, so you're not by yourself. Say this with me. Say, Father, I confess I'm a sinner and my sin deserved death, but I believe Jesus, the Son of God, died on a cross, paid the price for all my sin. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I accept him now as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, God, for saving me. It's that simple. 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 Your confession of faith, your invitation, inviting him into your heart, you're saved. You're saved.